Have you been waiting for a breakthrough? Well, you're in good company. The Bible is full of people who were tested through tough circumstances, including Mary, Noah, Job, the Apostle Paul, and countless others. But what was the common ingredient that allowed these heroes of faith to overcome? Find out right here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, as we continue with a series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. But first, if you would like to learn how to pray powerful and effective prayers with more confidence and greater faith than ever before, stay with us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a guided experience book by Pastor Rick called Experience God's Power Through Prayer. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's broadcast. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called How to Pray in a Crisis.
There are many, many examples of people of all sorts who cried out to God and God heard their prayer. There are many, many promises in the Bible about crying out. God does not listen to just complaints. He listens to crying out in emotion to God, saying, God, I really need your help. Now, it says Daniel, he said, he was pleading. He's crying out. What is he pleading? What is Daniel pleading with God about? He's going, God, I want to go back home. I'm an old man. I'm 85 years old. I spent my entire life serving pagan kings. I've done good. I stayed true, kept my integrity in a pagan world. I didn't deny my faith. And I kept getting promoted. I'm a pretty influential guy in the whole kingdom here. But God, I want to go back home. I'm gonna die in my home country. Now, Jeremiah, the other guy at the same time, had predicted that after 70 years, Babylon would fall, and that then the people of God in Babylon would start praying and pleading, God, let us go back home. Here's what it says, Jeremiah chapter 50. This was his prediction. He says, then my people will join together in tears. That's emotional praying. They'll join together in tears to seek the Lord. 34 days of seeking God. And they will ask the way to Jerusalem. Why? Because it had been 70 years. They didn't even know how to get back home. They will ask the way to Jerusalem. And they will start back home again. That's one of the most touching and hopeful verses in the Bible. They don't know the way to get back home, but they're going to ask God in tears, and they will start back home again. America needs to pray that prayer. We've gotten so far off from where we started, we need to go back home again. You need to pray that prayer. You need to pray that prayer for your own life. God, I've gotten so detached from you. I've gotten so busy. I've gotten so distracted. I don't even know the way to find my way back home to you. I haven't the slightest idea how to get back home to you. I don't know how to get home to Jerusalem, but I want to come back home. You need to pray that prayer for your life. Some of you need to pray that for your family. Our family's so out of whack. We need to come back home to you. Some of you parents need to pray that for your kids. I got kids who are out there on the limb. I need to pray they'll come back home. Some of you need to pray it for your business. All of us need to pray it for our nation. It's a message of hope. Now, when does God answer that kind of prayer? Well, notice that verse. It said, when my people join together in tears, you might circle that. When my people join together in tears, God says, then I'm going to answer. Let me ask you a question. You see everything that I see. You read the newspapers. You watch TV. You see what's going on in our nation. You see what's going on in our world. Does anything break your heart? The stuff that's going on around, does it break your heart, what you see happening in our society, in our system, in our politics? Does anything break your heart? When you see all the stuff going on all around the world, is there anything ever bring tears to your eyes? If not, it means you really pulled away from the heart of God. It's not something we just gossip about and tweet about. It's something that breaks our heart. And in tears, we say, God, we need help in this area. All right, there are a couple more. Okay, here's the fourth thing. Here's the fourth key. There's six keys. Number four, I need to demonstrate my seriousness. When you're praying about something, you need to signal to God that you mean business about this. That it's not just a little whim, it's not just a casual thought, but you're really serious about this. You want to let God see how important whatever you're praying about is to you. Now, Daniel, in the next part of this verse, mentions three ways he signals his seriousness to God. Two of them were cultural customs, which we don't do in America or anywhere, I think, today. But one of them is a spiritual discipline that had been going on for centuries and thousands of years, and people still do it today. Here's what he says in verse 3, the third part of the verse. He said, I started fasting, which means he's going without food. That's a spiritual discipline. He said, I started fasting and went without food. And to show my sadness, to demonstrate my seriousness, I put on rough clothes and sat in ashes. Now, nobody does this today. This is called sackcloth and ashes. And it was done for hundreds and hundreds of years in the Middle East and in the Orient. I don't know that anybody does this today. Jesus said there are some miracles that happen only by prayer and fasting, not by prayer alone. Why? Because it says, God, I'm super serious about this. I'm super serious enough to go without food. That's how disciplined and serious I am about this prayer request. I don't have time to go into this, but all through Scripture, Moses fasted before he received the Ten Commandments. The Israelite fasted before they went into many, many major battles. Daniel fasted in order to receive guidance from God. Nehemiah fasted before he began a major building project. You should too. Business guy. Jesus fasted in victory over temptation. The very first Christians fasted during decision-making times in their life. I'll teach you a whole lot more about this, but this is a point of simply saying, I demonstrate my seriousness. Okay, number five, the fifth thing. Thank God for his love and promises. Thank God for his love and promises. The Bible says, when you ask with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a holiday if you're a believer. It's an attitude of your entire life. You are to live with the attitude of gratitude. And the fifth thing Daniel does in his prayer is he reminds himself of how good God is, how gracious God is, and how grateful he is to God. Daniel 9:4, then I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you are great. You are an awesome God. You always fulfill your promises. You keep your word. You say it, you keep your word. You always fulfill your promises of constant love. I'm flaky, you're not. I'm unfaithful to you, but you're not unfaithful to me. You keep your promises of constant love to those who love you and keep your commands. Down in verse 9, he says, and even though we have rebelled against you, you, Lord, are merciful and forgiving. You just tell God, God, I'm grateful that you're God and I'm not. God, I'm grateful that you're loving, you're forgiving, you're good, you're merciful. And so you thank God for his love and his promises. And then number six, the sixth thing you do. Yeah, this is the last step. I humbly confess my sin. God doesn't listen to prideful complaining, but he does listen to humble confessing. God responds to humility. He says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, some of you think, you know, if I admit my sins to God, I'm going to get punished. Oh, hang on a minute. First place, God already knows them all. You're not going to say, God, I did this. You go, oh, really? How did I miss that one? Didn't see that one coming. God already knows every stupid thing you've done in your entire life. He just wants you to admit it. It's for your own humility. How does God respond when I humbly admit I blew it? With punishment? Never. When God hears you be humble, he responds not with punishment, but with blessing, forgiving, with mercy, grace.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
If you're like most people, you're probably struggling with a difficult situation or circumstance in your life, and you need a breakthrough. That's where prayer, powerful prayer, comes in. Whether you need a breakthrough in your health, finances, career, marriage, or another important relationship, persistent, expectant prayer is how God moves to transform lives. And to help you unlock God's power in your life, Pastor Rick created Experience God's Power Through Prayer. This dynamic study book provides information and inspiration that will dramatically transform your prayer life. As you see God answer your prayers, provide for your needs, and open new doors, you'll develop a confidence that God is listening and that He cares. This high-quality hardcover book is filled with full-color devotionals, Bible teachings, scripture, and engaging exercises to help you discover the secret to answered prayer and the pathway to God's amazing power in your life. When you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world, we'll send you Experience God's Power Through Prayer to say thanks. And today, when you join the Daily Hope family as a partner in Hope with automated monthly giving, we'll also send you a special surprise gift to welcome you. Call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Thanks so very much.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
When God hears you be humble, He responds not with punishment, but with blessing, forgiving, with mercy, with grace. It's not like I come and I admit it, then God's going to take me down. No. You're going to get taken down by your own pride. God says, you come to me humbly, and you just admit, hey, I blew it. You know that stuff I said yesterday? It wasn't right. That stuff I did, the way I talked to my kids, that was not right. The way I did this, and I just admit it to God, you keep short accounts. This is the sixth thing you do. I humbly confess. Now, the word confess in the Bible, the Greek word, is the word homologeo. Homo means same. Homo sapien, homogenized milk, means it's all the same. Homo, same, logeo means to speak. And so to confess simply means to speak the same thing about God. You're right, that was the sin. I don't excuse it. I don't make excuses for it. I don't say, God, that was a little faux pas. It was a little weakness. No, it was wrong. It was sin. It was rebellion against you. I did it. You told me not to do it, but I did it anyway. And that kind of thing God responds to with grace. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 5, He says this, we've sinned and we've done wrong. Okay, this is the sixth part of the prayer. I humbly confess what I've done wrong. We've sinned and done wrong. But He doesn't stop there. He gets very, very specific, and you need to too. You don't need to go, oh God, forgive all the sins I did yesterday, but I'm too busy to name them. God wants you to be specific because then He wants you to be able to know what not to do again. And so I want you to circle. I'm just going to read these verses real quick. I'm not even going to comment on them. And I want you to circle the verbs, which are the sins. Okay, He says, we've sinned and done wrong. Then He says, we've rebelled against you. That's one, rebelled. Circle that. We've rebelled against you. He says, we've ignored your commands. Circle ignored. He says, we've rejected your laws. We made up our own morality. We've rejected your laws. He says, we have refused to listen to your servants. The prophets refused. Who spoke the message to our kings and our leaders and our parents and everybody else in our nation. He says, this is very specific. We're all at fault here. Every generation. It's not like one generation. Every generation's got part of the blame. And then in verse 7 and 8, He says this, we've brought disgrace and shame on ourselves as a nation because we've been unfaithful to you. He said, you know what, God? We've committed spiritual adultery. We gave our love to somebody else when we're supposed to give our love to you. We've been unfaithful to you. And He said, this is true of all of us, including our kings, our leaders, and our parents. He said, next verse 10, we paid no attention to you when you told us how to live. You told us what's right and wrong, what's morally good, what's not. He said, this clear teaching came through your promise. In verse 13, but we kept on sinning. We never gave you a second thought. We were oblivious to the clear warnings. So God, He says, you had no choice but to let disaster loose in our nation, on us, since we persistently and defiantly ignored you. And then He sums it all up in verse 16, and He says, and now all the other nations mock us. Does any of this sound vaguely familiar to you? Now, Daniel knows we don't deserve God's blessing, but he casts himself on the grace of God. He goes, God, we could never earn this. We could never deserve this. We don't deserve to get back to home, get back to you. We don't deserve your blessing, but I'm going to cast myself on your mercy. And in the next verse, he says this, oh, God, listen to me. Hear my request. We don't ask because we deserve help. We don't. But because you are so merciful. You're a good, good father. And you're merciful. Now, how does God respond to this kind of prayer? The six things that we just taught you. Well, in verse 20, here's how God responds. Daniel says, while I kept on praying, let me stop right there, circle the phrase kept on. Daniel didn't pray this prayer one time. He's praying it over and over and over and over. God, I need your help. He's praying this over and over. That's why we're going to seek God for 34 days. Is your future worth 34 days? Yes. Is your future worth having a conversation with God three times a day about for 34 days before you start the new year? Yes. He said, I kept on praying. If you pray about something one time, you don't care about it. He says, while I kept on praying and confessing my sins and confessing the sins of my people and pleading with the Lord, he's emotional in this, suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared in my vision. Now, you guys know who Gabriel is? There are three archangels. There was Lucifer. He fell. He became Satan. There's Michael, and there's Gabriel. Gabriel's the guy who shows up at Christmas. Hello? Okay. So we actually know the names of these guys. And this is so important that God sends the angel Gabriel in a vision to Daniel. And he says, suddenly, while I'm doing all this praying, the angel Gabriel appeared in my vision and said this, Daniel, I've been sent, obviously by God, I've been sent to help you understand God's plan. Now, the moment you began praying, the answer was given. And I'm here to tell it to you. For God loves you very much. Now, God doesn't have to send Gabriel to me, and he doesn't have to send Gabriel to you, because we have the second half of the Bible that was written that tells us all about Jesus. And so I can tell you right now what God will say to you. I love you very, 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 very much. I feel very, very deeply, have deep feelings for you, God says. I saw you born. I saw you grow. I saw all the hurts. I saw the happy times, the sad times. I've seen everything in your life. And I have a plan for your life. And I have a timetable for your life. And when you start praying, I heard that prayer. And I want to help you understand my plan for your life because I love you very, very much. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Rick. This is God talking to Daniel. I'm not Daniel. No, you're not. Neither am I. But I know this prayer will work for you. And the reason I know it will work for you is because the exact same formula is given in another part of the Bible to anybody. It's to all of God's people. It's called 2 Chronicles 7:14, one of the most famous promises in the entire Bible. Now, before I read this promise, I want you to understand it's one of the most misused, misquoted verses in the Bible. I've actually heard politicians quote this verse as a promise to America. It is not a promise to America. It is not a promise to any nation. It is a promise to God's people. And God's people are in every nation. So this is not a promise for America. This is a promise for you and me and believers anywhere else in any other nation of the world. And it is for us. It's not for everybody. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, I got four conditions. If you'll do these four things, I'll do three things. If my people who are called by my name, are you called by my name? Are you called a Christian? That's being called by the name of Christ. So if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian. If my people who are called by my name, and here are the four things, will humble themselves, that's confession, and pray, that's pleading, and seek my face, we're going to do that for 34 days, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Let's pray. Say, God, I want to learn to seek you. I want to build a habit that I don't ever go to bed at night, even if I've only read the Bible for 1 minute and prayed for 1 minute, I don't put my head on the pillow without at least one conversation with you. If you've never invited Christ to your life, say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart and life right now. Make yourself real to me. I want to learn to trust you, and I want you to be the manager of my life. And I pray this humbly in your name. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, if you're like most people, you're probably struggling with a difficult situation or circumstance in your life, and you need a breakthrough. That's where prayer, powerful prayer, comes in. Whether you need a breakthrough in your health, finances, career, marriage, or another important relationship, persistent, expectant prayer is how God moves to transform lives. And to help you unlock God's power in your life, Pastor Rick created the Experience God's Power Through Prayer study resource book. Here's Rick to tell you more.
There's a verse in the Bible that I like to think of as a blank check. It's Ephesians 3:20. Glory be to God who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Now that is an incredible promise from God. God says he is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty big dreamer. God says I can top that. Now, that verse also tells us that we need to communicate with God. In fact, Jesus taught his disciples that prayer was the key to living a remarkable life. Prayer is the pathway to experiencing God's limitless power. But you know, prayer is just a simple conversation with God, and you could talk to God just like you talk to me or anybody else. Now, to help you develop your prayer life with God, I have put together a brand new spiritual growth resource, and I'm calling it Experience God's Power Through Prayer. I think it's going to help you develop a deeper prayer life and a conversation with God, a daily habit of prayer, and all of the things that you need to know to go deeper and deeper in a communication with God. It's going to encourage you. It's going to inspire you. It's going to help you become confident, sharing your dreams, your desires, and even your difficulties with God on a daily basis. My prayer is that this tool will help you experience a real breakthrough in your prayer life, and you'll come to know God closer than you've ever known him before. Now, it's a hardcover book. It's filled with full-color pages. It's got beautiful, inspiring photos. It's got devotional thoughts, Bible verses, practical teaching. It's just chock full of information and inspiration that will dramatically transform your prayer life. So I hope you'll get a copy of Experience God's Power Through Prayer.
When you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world, we'll send you Experience God's Power Through Prayer to say thanks. And today, when you join the Daily Hope family as a partner in hope with automated monthly giving, we'll also send you a special surprise gift to welcome you. Call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com or just call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.